Okay.
All right. Good evening, everybody. So we're going to, I think, just pick up from where we left off last week. Well, last week we discussed the issue of psuchos and stumos, right? So stumos is when there's a little samach, and a psuchos is when it's a pei. Those are ways of dividing up the, I guess you'll, for lack of a better term, paragraphs in a Sefer Torah. So, so samachs and peis. What's the difference between the two? So the way we have it in our Sefer Torah, it pretty much is all looks the same. Oh, okay. It pretty much all looks the same. I'm just gonna post the thing again here. There is the source sheet again. So the So samach is where there's a break in the middle of the line. So you have part of the beginning of the line and part of the rest of the writing at the end of the line. And a pei is when the paragraph ends, right? So if you take a look here at Shua's Megillah, so right in the middle of the page there is a samach, right? If we go samach, actually I'm not seeing too many peis in the Megillah here. Yeah, wow, that's interesting. All right, I don't see too many pays. The pays is when the paragraph ends, right, and we continue on. Yep. But none in the vicinity, but we're familiar, right? So in the Sefer Torah, it's pretty easy to figure that out. Now the when it's all done on one line. So the issue becomes, however, when it's not done on one line. So in the Sefer Torah, we've set it up such that this doesn't happen anymore, but there are halachos that about what to do about a pei or samach, a psucha or a stuma, where the previous line ends very close towards the end of the line. And that machlokas was set up most prominently between the Rush and the Rambam. The Tur only quotes his father, the Rush, saying like, well, you know, there's a lot of different opinions, so I'm only going to go ahead and quote the Rush. The Rambam, however, had his own opinions, and the truth, as we saw last week, the Darkei Moshe points out that really we follow the Rambam, because there are those that are there are earlier sources that the Rambam seems to find, the later sources, therefore we should really, if stuck, we should follow the Rambam over the Rush. What is the difference between those two opinions? So, I wrote down my summary. This is like the kind of thing that, like, unless you're I have to like keep on remembering the details of. So within the there's my notes. So the Rambam writes that when you have a psucha, so you skip till the end. So when you have a case where you're going to get to the where you have a psucha all the way at the end of the line, right? A psucha. So, and now you're not going to have room to have the rest of the line empty. So the Rambam says in that scenario, you skip a line, which as existed in older Sifrei Torah. What about if you have a stuma? So stuma, so the Rambam has two possibilities, and that's on the page that we put up here, the front page. So the right, you see there in the middle of the left column, in the Beis Yosef, so he quotes from the Rambam there, and about if I would open it up. Do I have my? I took this picture after my notes. All right, yeah. So I have that little underline there in the middle where he says Parsha Stuma for the Rambam Yishla Gimel Tsuros. There's three types according to the Rambam. Im Gmar Beemtza Hashita, that if you finish in the middle of the line, Maniach Revach Kishir Umarchil Lichto Besof Hashita, so then you leave an empty space and you continue writing at the end of that line. Teva Achas Mitchila Saparsha Shehi Stuma adim shimatze harevach beemtza. Sofashita teva achas mitchila saparsha. Right, she stuma from the beginning of the parsha, which is a stuma. Adshiyimtza harevach beemtza, until you find enough space in the middle. So long as you have enough space in the middle. V'im lo nishar min hashita kedei laniach harevach. Now, if you don't have enough space at the end of the line or in the middle of the line to have another thing at the end, kashir v'lichto v'sofashita teva achas. And you leave at the end and write another word at the end of the line. Yaniach ha-kol pano, you should leave the entire thing blank. V'yaniach ma'at revach mirosh shita shnia, and you should leave a little bit of space on the beginning of the second line. V'yarchil liktuv ha-parsha ha-situma mi'emtza ha-shita ha-shnia. And then you'll begin writing the second parsha from the middle of the second line. So according to the Rambam holds the yisod of ha-stuma is that it will never begin in the beginning of a line. So if you have a stuma, a regular stuma, that is just a blank in the middle of the line, so you have a blank in the middle of the line, you continue writing. If there's not enough room there, so Rambam says you skip to the end of the line, you skip the next line until the middle. He says, however, gemar b'sof hashita, but if you finish at the end of a line, that's if you have a large space at the end of before the end of the line. But if you finish at the end of the line, you leave a maniach mitchilas shita shnia kishir harevach umarchil lichtuv hastuma mi. Actually, it says here also mi emtza hashita. Then you will continue. You'll leave that small amount of space and begin writing in the middle of the next line. So nimsas omer sheparsha psucha tchilas v'tchilas hashita liolam. So we find that the psucha parsha, one that comes after a large space, will always begin in the beginning of the line. Uparsha stuma tchilas mi'emtza hashita liolam, and a parsha stuma will always be in the middle of the next line. Now there is a this cuts a little bit against my understanding, but okay. So as we said, this is not really going to come up in a Sefer Torah that we're writing nowadays, because we have everything set up exactly how it should be, and every Sefer Torah looks the same, and it's set up to avoid this issue of having a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, but the Rush holds differently. Yeah. Right. So in general, it's 9 letters. What? No. Well, a psucha is going to be before the end of the line. Now, how much do you have to leave at the how much do you have to leave before you get to the end of the line? I'm not sure he has to leave anything more than other than that it has to look a little different.
Okay, so
a
psucha,
it's
too much like 9 letters? Is that
9 letters? Oh, sorry, it's 9 letters there also, I see. That there has to be 9 letters before the end of the line in order for it to be a psucha. So in the case of a psucha, right, so as long as there's 9 letters, so you'll end it there and begin at the top of the next line. Sounds like if there's less than the 9 letters there, you would then have to skip a line, right, in order to get a stuma. However, what? Sorry, for a psucha, you would then skip a line. This is Yeah, what happens if there's less than the 9 letters? So that's here where the Rambam, for psucha, if there's less than that, you would then skip a line, correct. For a stuma, the Rambam would hold, if there is more than 9 letters, just there's not enough room to begin the next word, so then you would begin in the middle of the next line by a stuma. Right, towards the middle line. But if it was less than 9 letters, you should leave less than the equivalent of 9 letters at the beginning of the next line. The blank space in the upper and lower line combined should exceed the equivalent of at least 9 letters. So you should leave, he wants to get the stuma in, and so it needs to be more than 9 letters, but each one needs to be less than 9 letters, and you will therefore preserve the stuma. That's the way it's explained here. The truth is, the Rambam is quoted here in the Beis Yosef, doesn't exactly say that. He says the emtza, but that must be some kind of tradition that's added. Right. I see in the footnote here in the book Inside Stam, so he points out that this is not the Rambam explicitly, but this is the understanding of the Rambam, that he distinguishes between when you have a significant of space towards the end or not a significant amount of space towards the end. But that's pretty important for the next halacha, because again, as we pointed out, this does not really come up in the realm of Sefer Torah very much at all, but it does come up in the realm of Hilchos Tefillin, because in Hilchos Tefillin, so in the Shel Yad Parsha, so all the parshios of Tefillin are all psucha parshios, except for the last one. when we say a psucha parsha, means it the before it is a psucha. Now they all technically are beginning their own columns, right? In a tefillin shel yad, although I'm not sure what the source is for this, but at least the Rambam says that each parsha gets its own column in a shel yad, right? So here we go, parsha of this is on the source sheet, but here's a tefillin parsha. 1, 2, 3 is the little one, and then 4, okay? And you see, and all of them are psuchos. Doesn't matter for the first one. Right, but the second, but after at the end of the first one ends in the middle of the line, and the next parsha begins at the top of the line. It ends in the middle of the line and begins at the top of the line. All right, in the beginning of the line, right, because they're all psuchos. But then you get to the end, the last one, vehaya. If you look in the Sefer Torah, is a stuma, right? So how do you deal with a stuma parsha that is beginning a lot by definition starting a line because by definition, it's the first, right? It has to have its own paragraph, right? So in a Sefer Torah, we don't have to worry about Istuma doing that. Well, accordingly, so that we don't have that issue. However, right? So we don't have that. So we don't have that issue. But in Tefillin, we don't have a choice. So you have to figure out how to have a Stuma Parsha that starts a line, okay? So that's where I put down on the source sheet this from Hilchos Tefillin. So in Hilchos Tefillin, Simon Lamed Beis Sif Lamed Vav, I think, right? So on that source sheet, right? So page 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all I just put on for the Shulchan Aruch on top. So Shulchan Aruch says, Yasa kol ha-parshios psuchos chutz mi parsha achrona, right? You have to do all the parshios of a tefillin psuchos, meaning they're going to begin in the beginning of the line, chutz mi parsha achrona, except for the last parsha, haksuva b'torah, shehi vayayim shamoa sheyasen estuma, which is vayayim shamoa, which you make stuma. Why? Because that's the way it is in the Torah. Vim shina pasul. And then the stakes go up, right? Because if you mess this up, right, you're going to end up with pasul tefillin, okay? So then there are ma'adz in v'yesh machshir and b'kulam psuchos. There are those who machshir anyways, but v'dinos elu noagim af parsha v'yam shemoa barosha shita kishar ha-parshios. And in our medinos, that's actually what we do. So the Ramah, apparently, by Ashkenazim, was mekel about this, right? He just said, well, our minhag is not to worry about that, not to worry about that detail, which is interesting, like okay. Anyways, but the Shulchan Aruch continues. V'lachei nagu sheparshas kadesh li vayaki v'yecha uparsha shema mitchilin baroshita. So therefore, you're going to have the first three parshios, right? Kadesh li vayaki v'yecha shema. All will begin in the beginning of a. All will begin the beginning of a line, right? Uvesof kadesh li. Uvesof kadesh li, uvesof vayak kiviyecha, maniyam chelek kidei lichtov tes osios. So then at the end of the first two parshios, you have to make sure that you leave enough space to have at least 9 letters there. Then, vayayim shamoa, however, matchilim be'emtza hashita. That you're going to begin in the middle of a line, El Yona, right? Umaniyach lefaneha, chelek kidei lichtov tes osios. And you have to leave before it enough room to write 9 osios. So that's not what we have in our tefillin, right? In our tefillin, right, it's much less than 9 osios that begin with vayayim shamoa. Okay, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, again, we could say, well, we're Ashkenazi, we're Ramah people, so we don't have to worry about that. But v'nimsa shlosha parshios, what's going to end up, says the Shulchan Aruch, heim psuchos, bein laha rambam, bein laha rash, uparsha achrona, hi stuma ladasa rambam. And the last one is a stuma against the sheet of the rush. Why? Because the rush would say that a stuma under those circumstances, you would have to skip a line, while the Rambam would say, not true. So the Shulchan Aruch, so the Rambam says that that's the that's the way it needs to be. So So as we saw, the Ramah kind of shrugged his shoulders at this and kind of said, like, you know, apparently the minhug by him was not to be machbid about this din. Second of all, the Ramah himself says on the page in the Beis Yosef, meaning the Darkei Moshe, is the one who said that, really, if we have a Machlokas Rambam and Rush in this area, we're going to pass him like the Rambam, the Rambam's probably right against the Rush. So it seems like, so we should have the, we should, if you're passing like the Rambam though, so this last paragraph would be, right, several letters in, right, more letters in, right, it would have to be further indented. I think on the sheet, did I put Sfardi tefillin? So that's what Sfardim do. Not that picture. Okay. Yeah, sorry, don't have a picture of Sfardi tefillin here that I put on. Okay, so along comes the Taz, and truth is, now that I see that Ramah again, now I understand historically what happened, right? Because in the Sfardim are holding like the Rambam and being, you know, and that's the way their tefillin look, and the Ashkenazim like seem to shrug their shoulders, aren't doing like the Sfardim, are doing everyone a psucha, which is somewhat problematic. Now in the Ramah, which says like, okay, like, that's the way it is, you know, like that's the minhag of Ashkenaz. I guess it's defendable in some way. So along comes the Taz a little bit later, and the Taz is about a page and a half, like pretty thick. In the Shulchan Aruch Chaim, it's a pretty pretty large Taz. So we'll just get the summary here that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. So the Mishnah Berurah here quotes on the bottom, Stuma Ladasa Rambam. Va'af Ladasa Rush. I'm in Mishnah Berurah Kuf Samach Dalet here. So he says, "Va'af l'das harush he psucha," and while according to the Rush, that's a psucha mikol makom anu osim kach. That's what we'll do. Ki'iv shar lasos b'tfilin tsura stuma, because he can't do tfilin in the way of a stuma. She yatsa ba'al libet duchuli alma, in a way that you will be yotze according to everybody. Ki stuma shanu noagim lasos b'sefer Torah, because the stumos that we do in a sefer Torah, the hainu shem esayim a parsha shlofaneh be'emtza shita u'mafsik de tes osios, that we stop in the middle of the line and then we pause nine letters and then we begin the next parsha. Gam kein ba'osa shita, on the same line. V'inikra stuma, and that's what we call a stuma according to everybody. The stuma milfaneh, because there's a space before and after, right? You can't do it in film. The whole parsha hu ba'amud acher, because each parsha has to be on its own line, right? And so too, if you want to put a line in the beginning of the parsha, right? V'haya, right? Which is what I guess the Rush would hold, Asi Shapir, Ulhachila Baroshita Shnia, and then to begin at the top of the second line, right? Zagam Kane in an Estuma. That also wouldn't be a Stuma according to everybody, plus that would only be good according to the Rush. Tirak La Rush, Velo La Rambam. Vilide hi psucha, Bekin Shirshal Sosa Stuma, and therefore, of course, you can't do a Stuma, Ladivri Akol according to everybody. Nogu Ka Rambam, the Minig is like the Rambam, Lefisha Kane, Iker, Afasefer Tori, Mevshar La Sosa, Ladivri Akol, Kamash, Kasabi Yerdea, Simon Ayan Reshe. That if you can't be Yotze both the Rush and the Rambam, we'll Paskin like the Rambam over the Rush when it comes to this halachos, which is a historically interesting thing to say. However, uvetaz heimtzi etza laso stuma shiyatza liba duchuliyama. However, along comes the Taz and came up with an idea that he thinks you could be yotze according to both shitos. The hainu sheba parsha aleph v'beis, I guess, yasa achol kamosha kasu b'shulchan aruch, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rak sheba parsha shema b'sofa, but at the end of Shema, instead of ending it in the middle of the line, yaniach reva pachus michdei dalet osios, make a very small space at the end. Ketanos. V'chein yaniach revach pachus mites osios ketanos b'tchilas parshas v'haya. And you should also do a space smaller than nine letters in the beginning of v'haya. And that would work. But so long as you don't have nine letters in one spot, kol echad ayde tziruf hi nikra stuma. By combining them, we would call them a stuma. The Taz suggests that should work, right? That according to the Rambam, that seems to be one of the examples that the Rambam gives of a stuma, of having a small space at the end and a small space in the beginning. And the Rambam's not explicit about that, but that's the way many understand him. And the Taz then is also saying that the Rush would agree to that stuma as well, that if it's a small space at the end and a small space in the beginning of the next line, so long as neither one is longer than 10 letters, that is a good stuma. Now, the problem is the Rush never says that, right? The Rush never gives that example. The Rush only says if you don't have enough room on the line to begin the next letter, to have another word in the beginning of the next parsha, you skip a line, right? That's what the Rush says. He doesn't say this issue, but the Taz says he thinks that the Rush would agree to that idea. And they had the minhag to do this. And he says, and also, even if you leave more than nine spaces, nine osios gedolos, we call tzad gamkin kasher de la Rambam histuma, de la Rush hi psucha, that according to the Rush, the Rambam, that would still be a stuma, and the Rush would call that a psucha, and we said earlier that that would be okay. Hi. Why do you have all that cheese?
Okay.
Did you say hi to Saba? Hi. Saba's working tonight, so... I thought we were doing pretty well. So that is the suggested compromise shita of the Taz. Now, it seems to be that it's more of a chid to me that this is more of a chiddish to say within the Rush, who never even acknowledged this possibility, than according to the Rambam. Right, the Rambam seems to have this idea, but yet, nevertheless, the Sfardim come out like fully against this. So I should have put it on the source sheet. Actually, do I have a share screen capability here?
Yeah, you should.
I tracked down in my if I could do that. No, host disabled participant share screen. Okay, it's okay. I tracked down in Yabia Omer where Avadi actually. Don't even bother. It reset. I don't have it in front of me anyways anymore. So the Rav Avadya Yosef it says, no, you can't do that. That's against the Mechaber, right? And therefore Sfardim can't do it. Not only should Sfardim not wear such tefillin, not only should Sfardim not get such tefillin, they can't even wear such tefillin. And you know, if that's the only thing around, so you could put it on without a bracha. That's the psak of Rav Avadya Yosef in the Yabia Omer. Now, I don't quite understand. You know, it's true. It's not what the Mechaber recommended, but the Mechaber is only quoting the Rambam, and it is what the Rambam recommended. Right? It seems to be following the sheet of the Rambam, even if it's not what Rav Yosef Karo recommended. Nevertheless, that is, you know, the Rav Yosef pushing this just because, you know, he wanted to sort of strengthen the words of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, but anyways, the Sfardim are noheg. But they should be noheg. I mean, the psak of Rav Avadya Yosef is to that if you only have access to Ashkenazi tefillin, you shouldn't wear it. You shouldn't make a bracha on such tefillin, but they hold that it's pasul. Ashkenazim generally hold like the Taz, although even the Rama would say that the Sephardi tefillin are okay. So therefore, we could rely on Sephardi tefillin if necessary. There are some details within the Taz as to what exactly the Taz meant. Whether he's talking about less than nine little letters or less than nine big letters. But this is like one of those things in Hilchos Tefillin. I was speaking to one of my suppliers today. I asked him, like, is this, you know, it's the kind of thing he's not holding in it right. I asked him this question. I said, why was our Sfardim so against it if it seems like it's within the shittas of the Rambam? It's like the kind of thing you gotta, like, be holding it in order to ask it, but he did say that, you know, that the Shir Parsha is something that you check as a regular checking of Hilchos Tefillin. And it could be sometimes there's a little bit, you know, that you want to make it a little bit longer or shorter in order to make sure that it's less than the nine-letter maximum in order to fulfill this Shita of the Taz. Okay, so that is the Hilchos Tefillin Shir Parsha issue. Okay, we continue on here. So let's continue on a little bit. So the Rush here then talking about psuchos and stumos, so then the Torah goes on to talk about the exceptions to the rule. No, you can't sit on my lap. Okay, so Kasav Avi HaRush, Zal Shiras Hayam Kosvin Shit, I'm reading the Torah now. Right, so the Rosh says that Shiras Adiyam, you should write the Shita Rishona Kedina, Ushar Kol HaShitos Achas Manichin Be'emtza Revach Ma'at V'Shetachteha Kasuv Be'emtza V'Chalak B'Shnei Mekomos V'Nimsa HaShita Chalduka L'Shlosha V'Nimsa Revach Keneged HaKsav V'Kasuv Keneged HaRevach. So you're going to end up like you'll have either three or two sections, and you'll have writing on top of emptiness and emptiness on top of writing. Now, the Gemara only said, the Gemara in Megillah, which I think we quoted a week or two ago, where it said that the psuchos and stumos are ma'akev, and you better not mess this up. So the next line is, oh, except for Shiras Hayam, which has to be this psuchos, which has to be the, what was the word term he used here? Revach keneged haksav and ksav keneged harevach, right? That is required. The Gemara didn't say anything about the first line being regular. So I'm not sure where that came from. The Rush quotes it. But he just says it. I don't know where it comes from. This morning I happened to be in the Kollel, so Rabbi Bieberfeld walked by. So I asked him if he had any idea about what this is about, and he's kind of thing like, what? I never noticed that, right? So I don't know if anybody, but in regular Shira, on the right, the top line happens to be full, it happens to be a full line. I'm not sure why that is. Another thing that I noticed today is that it skips a line in the Shira. That if you look in I found a few examples online here, but if you look in a standard tikkun, where's my tikkun here? Did I?
Where is the Shira?
The Shira in Bishalach. That in a standard, there you go. So in a standard tikkun, right? You see, it skips a line on top of the shira, right? It's a full line is the top where it says Az Yashir Moshe. Now the truth is that's not necessarily whether that's considered part of the shira is an interesting question, right? Az Yashir Moshe Vnei Yisrael, right? It all says that that's what Moshe is saying. But we do normally consider that part of the Shira, so yet that's a full line. And there's a skipped line prior to that. And there's a skip.
Where is it?
Bishalach, it's Revi, Perek Tesvav, Tesvav, Perek Tesvav, in Shmos. So at first I was like, is that just a thing in the Tikkun? But then I Googled around a little bit and found some pictures from Sifrei Torah that's the case there, that it skips a line. I don't know where that comes from, that you skip a line, right? It seems like that would be a, a psucha, right, which shouldn't necessarily be there. So I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure where that comes from. So what else do we got here? Rosh Hashanah is Ksuvim Masechta Sofer. Vimshina Behem. Okay, so just continue on here in the tour. Vimsa Shita Chaluka Lishlosha. Vimsa Revach Keneged Aksav. Ksav Keneged Revach. Rosh Hashanah is Ksuvim Masechta Sofrim. And the beginning of the lines are written out in Masechta Sofrim. That there is a Mesorah as to what the first word on each line should be. Ricky. Shh. Ricky. Ricky. I can't sing here. Okay, I'm singing over there. So, Keneged Rav Roshi Ksuvim Behen Lo Pasul Vitzur. But if you change that, that's not going to be a psul. That if you have those lines in different places, that's not a psul. That's not considered like a psucha and like a stuma. It's just a tradition. That should be the first word on each line, but that's not going to pasul the Sefer Torah. Uvitzuros Shiras Hazinu Mefurish B'Maseches Sofrim. And with regards to the way that the Shiras Hazinu is supposed to look, so that's explicit in Maseches Sofrim, Be'emsa Kol Shita Revach Kashir Parsha Stuma, that between each column should be the width of a Shir Parsha Stuma, right, at least nine letters, V'nimsa Kol Shita Chaluka L'Shtayim. So you're going to see that each line is divided into two,
Barchalas Roshi Hashitin Ksuvim Maseches Sofrim. And there too, the beginning of each line is written down Maseches Sofrim. Vegama Rambam Kosvam Veshina Behem Ktsas Ad Kam. And the Rambam also writes it, although he has a little bit of a different tradition than the Maseches Sofrim. Meaning what the first word on each line should be is spelled out in the Rambam, is spelled out in Maseches Sofrim, but it turns out that they have a little bit different understandings as or traditions as to what that should be. Now, there... and then Vav actually discusses that there's a couple of other things as well that are not explicit in the Gemara, that we have various Mesorahs in the Sefer Torah, that sometimes we make some letters bigger and sometimes we make some letters smaller, and sometimes there's some dots on top of letters, and there's also a Mesorah as to, for the Shira, what the five lines should on top and the five lines on the bottom should be. Right, that the Shira is always supposed to be in the middle of a page like that, and there's supposed to be five lines on top, five lines on bottom, and the first word on each line is, there's a Mesorah as to what those words should be, as is spelled out in the tour here, towards the end. I would just, because Purim is coming up, I figured there's another case that we have of two columns. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago, right? And that is the issue of the Aseres Bnei Haman, right? The Aseres Bnei Haman is also two columns. Now, interestingly enough, so that's brought down in the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah says that every shear in the Torah is supposed to be a psua, a pesach on top of, ksav k'neged ha-revach. The ksav is supposed to be on top of the revach, with the exception of two. What are those two? It's not spelled. Well, first of all, what other shiras are there? So there's a shira of David. There's a shira of Devora, right? So those shiras are like the shira of Moshe, right? That it's those bricks those interwoven bricks. So the Gemara says, however, there's two that are not like that. Two shiras are not like that. Rather, they are considered to be, they're going to be straight columns. And what are those two? So one of them is the Aseres Bnei Haman, and the other one is the Malachim of Canaan. At the end of Yehoshua, it lists off the Malachim of Canaan, and there also, if you would have a full Megillah Yehoshua, so to speak, right? That's the way that you would go ahead and write it out. So that lead, there is a Rashi there. Ricky, what are you doing? So there is a Rashi on that daf. Kol hashirus kula nichtavus ariach al gabi levina. That every shear is written a half brick on top of a full brick, v'levina al gabi ariach, or a full brick on top of a half brick. Chutz mishirazu umalchi kanan. With the exception of this shira, meaning the sons of Haman, umalchi kanan, shariach agabe riach v'levina agabe levina, which are different, which are like two twin towers. My taima, so it says the Gemara, shalotehe takuma l'mepalasan, that there shouldn't be a recovery from their downfall, meaning once the sons fall down, so to speak, they shouldn't be able to climb back up. And in fact, there's another simon like that, here, right, that the vav of Vaizasa is supposed to be straight. We don't have this in our Megillas, but the Gemara says the vav de Vaizasa tzarech lemimtacha bezekifa is supposed to be elongated kimordia, like a pole, right, delvaros. Like the name of a, like a pole in a river, right? Some name of a river. My time, why? Kulu b'chad zekifa ad zekifa, because they're all hanged in one at one time. So we don't have that minhag of elongating a vav that I know of, the vav of Vaizasa. We do. I'm sorry. There's the vav of Vaizasa is longer, right? The bottom there. I think I saw that some have the minhag of making it a straight vav. That's what we don't have the minhag for. That just goes straight up instead of bent. So that's what I believe that's what we don't do. Now the Rambam, the Rashi here comments in the middle that what does it mean that we're going to have these two lines? Ariach levena. Rashi says hu chalak hu chelek shehu kflayim min haksav. The levena is the portion that is double from the ksav. So what does it mean that it is double from the ksav? So so there's a couple of different explanations to that, but that's perhaps measuring the amount of space that needs to be between the two sides, between the names and the v'eses, right? There needs to be a there needs to be double. Now the question is double what, right? So some say it's you need to double over the names, right? So just make sure there's enough room to have the names again. Some say you need to have double the space of names, that you need to have double, right? You need to be able to fit in parshandata two times between the parshandata and the ves. And the third possibility is that you need to fit in the parshandata and ves two times in between the two lines, which sometimes you might see a Megillah. Sometimes you might see a Megillah where the letters and the words and the v'eses are like very far apart. That's the sheet that they're trying to accommodate. Apparently, apparently Rav Yashiv recommended that the Megillah should be like that. So that's why some might have that source. One more thing that you'll notice here, and that is that there aren't the same amount of letters in each of the names, right? But yet they are straight up and down, right? You see, right, they're straight up and down. There are some letters that are made larger and smaller, like Arisai and Aridai at the end, that are only five letters, so they lengthen the Resh and the Dalet in order to make it straight. Why do we do that in order to make it straight? So some suggest that that is I think the Mishnah Berurah actually mentions that practice. But that would be a fulfillment of this idea that they won't be able to climb back up, that it will be that it will be straight and that they won't be able to climb, or possibly that way a wall that doesn't have that the bricks all end at the wall straight, right? So you're not going to be able to use it Okay, hold on. Okay.
That's a security consideration when you're building fencing.
Correct. Right. So it doesn't look like the Capitol that day, right? That we're going to have smooth endings rather than brick endings. So anyways, so those are some of the things in Hilchos Megillah. Ricky needs some attention here. So maybe we'll call it a night. Yashar Koach, and Emir Seh Hashem pick up next week.